I'm joined by Fillmore Street. This is philpot.com. The Week in English. Sorry, The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the Lower Haight in the heart of San Francisco, Left Coast. Today is Thursday, the 6th of April, 2017. On this date in 1453, the Ottoman soldiers, led by Sultan Mehmed II, begin their siege of Constantinople, capturing the city later that year. Constantinople becomes the capital of the newly declared Ottoman Empire. 1814, the Bourbon Restoration begins in France when Napoleon Bonaparte abdicates and goes into exile on the island of Elba. 1896, the first modern Olympic Games opens in Athens. 1917, the United States declares war on the German Empire. 1992, the Bosnian War begins in earnest when Bosnia-Herzegovina receives international recognition a little more than a month after declaring independence from Yugoslavia. 1994, an airplane carrying the Rwandan president is shot down over Kigali. That ends the fragile peace between the Hutu-led government and the mostly Tutsi Rwandan Patriotic Front. What later becomes known as the Rwandan Genocide begins the next day. Birthdays are Merle Haggard and Billy D. Williams. I'm your host. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the form or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod, T-P-E-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. Russia and South Ossetia signed a new agreement to formalize the merger of the South Ossetian military forces into the Russian military. The document is called On the Order of Inclusion of Certain Units of the Armed Forces of South Ossetia in the Russian Armed Forces. Catchy. And it's part of the treaty signed between the two sides in March 2015, which will be in effect for 25 years. It gives South Ossetian soldiers who hold Russian passports the legal right to serve on the Russian military base in the region. It will also integrate South Ossetia's army into the Russian military command structure. Some detachments will be stationed on the Russian military base, and for the remaining forces, they'll be independent in name only, and their structure and operations will have to be agreed upon with the Russian Federation. That means that South Ossetia's army will be completely under Russian control, formally and informally. The region's president, Leonid Tibolov, denied that, saying the agreement ensures the independence of South Ossetia's army won't be affected and that its command structure will remain intact. The agreement was condemned by Georgia's foreign minister, who called it another step towards annexation of South Ossetia and an act of aggression against Georgian statehood and European security systems in general. Armenia voted in parliamentary elections over the weekend. The incumbent Republican Party came out on top with 49% of the total vote. Center-right Tsarukyan Alliance coming in second with 27%. According to preliminary results, two other parties received enough votes to enter parliament. The pro-Western opposition bloc YELK, which received just under 8% of the vote, and the Armenian Revolutionary Federation, or Dashnaktsion, a nationalist party currently in a ruling coalition with the Republicans, received 6.6%. The Republicans won an absolute majority of 55 of 105 total seats. If they aren't able to form a government on their own, both the Armenian Revolutionary Federation and the Tsarukyan Alliance have been put forward as potential coalition partners. Overall turnout was 61%. Armenia is in the process of shifting from a presidential system to a parliamentary one, and the composition of the new parliament will become extremely important in 2018 when the term ends for the current president, Serzh Sarkisian, a Republican. His critics say the constitutional changes are a ploy to allow him to stay in power because he'll in theory be able to move into the role of prime minister once his term is over. You heard it here first on tpeelpod.com. That's exactly what he will do. He could also put a handpicked successor into the role of president, but I don't think so. Armenia's next president will be elected by parliament, not by popular vote. Citizens of Georgia, as your constitution is being amended, take note. Suicide bombing killed at least 14 people in St. Petersburg Metro on Monday. Russian police have identified the bomber as Akbarjan Jalilov, a Russian citizen originally from Kyrgyzstan. So far, there's no information about the motive. Jalilov was a Muslim, but doesn't appear to have been very observant, never publicly expressed any violent or extreme views, had no known connections to jihadist groups. On a related note, for those who don't know, the Moscow apartment bombings of September 1999 that killed 293 people were for Russia what the September 11th attack were for the U.S. They were carried out by the KGB, or FSB, as it had then become known. Giorgi Mamalodze, the priest who was arrested in possession of cyanide at Tbilisi International Airport back in February, is reportedly on hunger strike and demanding a meeting with Patriarch Ilia II. Mamalodze was charged last month with attempting to murder Shorena Teturashvili, who is Ilia's secretary. He's in pretrial detention without bail. Travel to and from Georgia. Delegations from the National Movement and the Movement for Liberty European Georgia, speaking of awesome names, went to Malta for the European People's Party, or EPP, Congress. National Movement has observer status at the EPP, and the European Georgia applied for observer status earlier this year. Misha led the National Movement delegation and addressed Congress, where he talked about all the great stuff Georgia had achieved when he was in power and how the country is currently run by a Russian oligarch in service of the Russian state, yada, yada, yada. Norwegian Defense Minister Ine Eriksen Søreide was in Tbilisi this week to meet with the Defense Minister Levani Zoria. They signed a bilateral cooperation agreement that includes joint military trainings. About 300 delegates from around the world are in Tbilisi for the Euro-Asian Ski Resorts Conference. Two-day conference is organized by the World Tourism Organization, the government, and the Georgian Mountain Resorts Development Company. Delegates will announce new tourism products and services, share methods for improving ski resort experience now that there's less and less snow. Georgian Deputy Foreign Minister David Zalikiani was in Washington this week for a meeting on economic, trade, and energy cooperation within the U.S.-Georgia Charter on Strategic Partnership. They discussed bilateral trade relations. Members of the parliament led by Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze attended the Assembly of Interparliamentary Union in Dhaka, Bangladesh this week. The union includes 171 member parliaments from around the world. Georgian and Abkhaz officials met on Monday in Ergneti under the Incident Prevention and Response Mechanism, or IPRM, format. The meeting was led by representatives of the Organization for Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, and the European Union Monitoring Mission in Georgia, or EUMM. The Georgian side brought up the case of Giorgi Gunashvili, a Georgian citizen who was detained by the Abkhaz authorities back in 2016. Sides also discussed steps to ensure the safety of farmers working near the administrative boundary line. Next IPRM meeting in Ergneti will take place on the 11th of May, but the next IPRM meeting in Gali, which is a slightly different format, will take place on the 25th of April. U.S. Senators Roger Wicker, a Republican, and Ben Cardin, a Democrat, submitted a resolution in support of Georgia's territorial integrity to the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The non-binding resolution urges U.S. government to declare that it will not, under any circumstances, recognize Russia's de jure or de facto sovereignty over any part of Georgia, including Abkhazia and South Ossetia. It also called on President Trump to deepen cooperation with Georgia under the United States-Georgia Charter on Strategic Partnership, signed back in 2009. If approved, the Foreign Relations Committee, something that will most likely happen, the resolution will go to a plenary vote. U.S. House of Representatives passed a similar resolution in September of last year. The Interior Ministry signed an agreement to make Georgia a formal partner of Europol. The agreement covers all areas of crime within Europol's mandate, including exchange of information and joint planning operational activities. Georgia will share the personal information of suspected criminals with Europol and vice versa. The organization is based in the Netherlands and helps EU member states and their partners locate and arrest criminals operating across borders. President appointed a new ambassador to Switzerland. It's Levan Bodzashvili, who served as a deputy secretary of the National Security Council since 2015. He'll take up the post on the 20th of October. Unfortunate last name. The city of Riga, Latvia, is building a public square that it will name Tbilisi Square. The square is on Brīvības gatve, Riga's central street. The project is expected to be completed by the end of the year. In 2015, the Lithuanian government opened a Tbilisi Square in its capital, Vilnius. Former Vice Parliamentary Speaker Rusudan Kervilashvili was sentenced to 4 years in prison this week for embezzlement. She's a co-founder of Centerpoint, a construction company accused of embezzling more than 11 million lari from roughly 6,000 customers over several years, mostly in Batumi. They took money from customers on the promise that they would build new apartments. They never built the apartments. Her sister and the company's co-founder, Maya Rucelashvili, was also found guilty and sentenced to 4 years. Kervilashvili was vice parliamentary speaker for the National Movement from 2008 to 2012. From everything I have heard, they are actually guilty, and that's a relatively modest sentence. I know the family had tons of money and built very, very little. Former Deputy Interior Minister Gela Kvedelidze was attacked near his house by a group of masked men. He was hospitalized with a head injury. The Interior Ministry is investigating. A Georgian citizen was abducted by Russian border guards in the village of Berusheti near the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. He's being held in Tskhinvali and will be released once his family pays the customary fine. Witnesses say the border guards crossed over to the Georgian-controlled side of the line to detain him. Construction started on a new rail line between Tbilisi and Kutaisi International Airport, scheduled to start operating on the 5th of April 2018, and once it does, all passenger trains traveling between East and West Georgia will stop there. The new railway is part of the government's four-point reform plan announced in February 2016, which includes a lot of infrastructure investment. There was a bomb scare at the Mtechi Bridge on Wednesday night. A citizen told police that a bag left on the bridge contained explosives, something that fortunately turned out to be untrue. The area was evacuated while the police dealt with the situation. Tbilisi Zoo is getting a new Siberian tiger, its first tiger since the 2015 flood. The tiger was donated by the Riga Zoo. Tbilisi is also getting a number of animals donated from the United Kingdom, including 7 wallabies and 6 Barbary lions. Tbilisi city government has employed inspectors to combat littering. They started working on Monday. For the first 2 weeks, they'll inform citizens about fines for littering, and after that, they'll be authorized to hand out fines. The fines range from 50 to 1,000 lari, depending on the type and amount of waste. Mayor Narmania announced that 10 new multi-level parking garages will be built in locations around Tbilisi, including Station Square, Martinashvili Avenue, Pushkin Square, Dinamo Arena, and Tbilisi City Hall. 9 of the 10 will be underground. They're designed to ease street-level traffic, although they will not do that. They'll do just the opposite, since everybody knows adding more parking garages increases the number of cars. Narmania said the city will soon announce a tender on construction, and the garages will open about a year after construction begins. It's an incredibly stupid idea. 11 school children from the village of Sakobo near Sikhnahi were hospitalized with high fevers and nausea. They were released the same day. It appears that everyone is fine. Doctors ruled out food poisoning. Central Bank published statistics on external debt, which amounted to $15.5 billion at the end of 2016. That amounts to 108% of the country's GDP. Of that, $6.6 billion was owed by the public sector, which is 46% of GDP. Almost half. According to the Georgia National Tourism Administration, the number of tourists entering the country in March, defined by people who stay in the country for longer than 24 hours at a time, were up 28% from March 2016. The largest number of tourists came from Azerbaijan, Armenia, Turkey, Russia, and Iran, in that order. Arrivals from Iran nearly tripled from 1 year ago. The National Wine Agency published new statistics on wine exports. Georgia reported 14.2 million bottles of wine to 38 countries during the first 3 months of 2017, an increase of 85% from the same period in 2016, and an increase in revenue of 77%. The biggest consumers were, as they have been for a while, Russia, China, Ukraine, Poland, and Kazakhstan, in that order. Sales to China increased by 383%. However, there were big increases in exports also to Israel, Canada, and Germany. Georgian Airways plans to operate direct flights between Tbilisi and Barcelona from the 5th of July. The flight will be once a week on Wednesdays. The Kuwaiti company G Paradise is building a hotel complex on 17 hectares in the village of Jugani near Tel Aviv. Construction is in its final phase, and the 10 million Lari complex should open later this year. The hotel is based on the agro-tourism concept, where the guest experience focuses on natural landscapes. The company Macro Tourism will open a new hotel, the Ibis Styles Tbilisi Center, on the 25th of April. The new 3-star hotel will be located on Tabidze Street near Freedom Square and have 119 rooms, as well as a bar, restaurant, and lounge. The hotel is part of the Accor Group, a French brand with more than 4,000 hotels around the world. Georgian kiwi fruit is now being exported to Japan and is available in supermarkets in a number of major cities there. The kiwi producers Nergeta, which is located in San Miguelo, started exporting to Japan in February. It is owned by the well-known awesomes Kote Vekoa and Hans Goodbrod, dedicated listeners to this podcast. In parliamentary news, this week's parliament is discussing new anti-smoking regulations, something that's been on and off the table for quite a while now, mostly off the table. If the proposed bill is passed, smoking will be banned in all indoor spaces except for private homes and prisons and will be prohibited to advertise and promote tobacco products. If passed, the new regulation will go into effect from May 2018. The meme this week is a picture of a mimosa tree in Abkhazia. The tree turns from green to bright yellow and is crazy beautiful, and everybody seems to be checking it out. Stuff to read. Lincoln Mitchell devotes his Georgia analysis to visa liberalization. Mostly visa liberalization demonstrates that Georgian government is capable of achieving tangible results by implementing real policy reforms, ensuring border security, and crafting and executing strong immigration and asylum policies. It's a welcome change from the usual where the government talks about vague policy goals like territorial integrity and economic development, and where the EU makes vague, open-ended promises that never seem to bring any tangible benefits. Next up, the government needs to articulate its next steps in relations with the EU. ISET blog written by Eric Livney focuses on potential problems for Georgia from recently signed logistics agreements between Iran and Azerbaijan. Last month, the two countries inaugurated a bilateral railway connection that will form part of the North-South trade corridor linking South Asia to Europe through Russia and bypassing Georgia. It also gives Azerbaijan a direct link to the Persian Gulf, another alternative to Georgia's Black Sea ports. Also, Turkey, Iran, and Azerbaijan are planning another project connecting Azerbaijan to Europe and the Baku-Tabriz-Babak-Kars line, which will bypass Georgia and Armenia. Both rail corridors are expected to open in 2023. That doesn't mean Georgia can't or won't be a major logistics hub, but it means Georgian Railways needs to seriously upgrade its operations in order to compete. Natalia Antalava writes for Coda Story about how journalists should cover stories saturated with disinformation. Russian annexation of Crimea is a case in point. Too many journalists made the mistake of presenting multiple narratives in a balanced manner, even though many of those narratives were blatantly false and designed by Kremlin propagandists to confuse Western public opinion, successfully in many cases. In Antalava's view, the first lesson to be learned is that in an era when information is a weapon, questions of who and why should take priority over questions of when and what. By asking who and why first, journalists can cut through the noise and lies to confront fake news head on. It's a truly brilliant article. Anyone who cares about fake news and is moving beyond the, you know, Zuckerberg needs to get this stuff out of my feed stage should really, really read this. Emily Lush reviews Fabrica Hostel. She's most impressed with the way it blends the new and old, a hip, high-energy co-working and social space built on top of an old textile factory. Some of the remnants are still there, old industrial fixtures and salvaged furniture, black and white prints from the city's archives that remind visitors of the space history as a Soviet blue-collar working space. She also echoes hopes that Fabrica can become a model for other projects that reclaim abandoned buildings to create space for business or social initiatives. Misha publishes an op-ed in Politico blaming the Obama administration for not providing Georgia and Ukraine with enough support during its 8 years in office. He blames the reset policy for helping sink Ukrainian President Vladimir Yushchenko in 2010 and the national movement in 2012, which is, of course, completely ridiculous. In Misha's view, the Russian invasion of the Donbas could have been avoided if the U.S. had provided lethal weapons to Ukraine in 2014. Also not so true. He also points out, he points to an interview that Obama gave to The Atlantic in 2016 when he said that Ukraine will always mean more to Russia than it does to the United States because of its geographic location, and that statement emboldened Russia, although it is undoubtedly true. He addresses concerns that Trump is too cozy with Putin, but ultimately thinks they're a bunch of hot air and concludes that Trump's policy in the post-Soviet space, whatever it ends up being, really can't be any worse than Obama's was. It's a very sad attempt to blame all of his many mistakes on Obama while simultaneously going to stupid lengths to find a way to kiss Trump's ass. It's really embarrassing. Freedom House publishes its Nations in Transit report for 2017. Georgia is still listed as a hybrid regime, and its aggregate score of 4.61, 1 being the highest possible score, 7 being the lowest, puts it on a par with Ukraine, slightly more free and democratic than Moldova. It's about where Georgia was in 2016 and a slight improvement over 2014-15. Bad news is that 18 of the 29 countries surveyed saw their scores decline from last year, the highest amount since 2008. The International Republican Institute, or IRI, publishes the results of its public opinion survey conducted between the 22nd of February and the 8th of March. They find that Otsneva has about 30% support among people who claim they intend to vote in the next parliamentary election, followed by the National Movement with 15% and Movement for Liberty European Georgia with 8%. That shows support is slightly up for Otsneva and slightly down for the National Movement from where it was 1 year ago. President Margvelashvili is the country's most popular politician, according to the survey. Nino Bourgenadze, the least popular. Note that Misha and Bidzina were not eligible in responses because neither of them holds public office in Georgia. Joseph Larson, who also writes this podcast, co-authors with Corneli Kakachia, a piece in Eurasian Net about the striking lack of opposition in Georgia's political party systems following the National Movement breakup. Most media attention was focused on Misha and his political downfall, but the real loser is Otsneva. With no one to oppose them in parliament, the party runs the self-serving and self-defeating risk of becoming arrogant and unaccountable, the way the National Movement did in its later years and its middle years. Indications from the constitutional reform process are that this is already happening. For democratization to continue moving forward, Georgia needs a new opposition force that can play a constructive role in parliament and keep Otsneva in check. Mariana Gregorian recaps the Armenian parliamentary elections for Eurasianet. The outcome isn't so good. The ruling Republican Party consolidating power through an election marred by allegations of vote buying and intimidation. One analyst told Gregorian that the Republicans were aided by the large number of Armenians who depend on the public sector for employment. Voting process was generally approved by the Organization for Security and Cooperation of Europe, however. European Courts for Human Rights, ECHR, published its annual report from 2016, which analyzes the execution of its judgments by the Georgian authorities. The country currently has 39 pending cases. 6 cases were closed in 2016. Overall, they assess Georgia positively. All this stuff to read is posted in the forum. This week's dive bar number is 3, the number of Georgians who played in the National Basketball Association. Zaza Pachulia gets all the attention, but 2 other Georgians have played in the world's top basketball league. Nikolos Skitsashvili, who was a first-round draft pick for the Denver Nuggets in 2002, played 4 years in the NBA. And Tornike Shengelia, who was drafted in 2012 and played 2 years. Some announcements. Registration is open for the Wings of Life World Run 2017. The Georgian part of the event will take place 7th of May in Kakheti, starting in Lopota. Last year, 6,000 people participated in Georgia. The entry fee is 30 lari, goes directly to spinal cord research. Go to www.wingsforlifeworldrun.com. The 86th International Session of European Youth Parliament needs organizers. The session will take place this November. They need energetic, dedicated young people who can organize the event over the next 8 months. If interested in applying, send an email to tbilisi2017@eyp.org.ge. It's very cool and worth doing. Tell young people in Georgia you know. On the 7th of April at 6:30 p.m., the Frontline Club is screening Al Jazeera documentary Big Picture, The Making and Breaking of Europe. The film traces how far-right politics became mainstream in Europe and came to set the political agenda on immigration and refugee policies. The screening is followed by a discussion with Shota Kincha and Shota Papava. If you are in Tbilisi, just go to this. Trust me, it's going to be incredibly interesting. In 3 weeks, Viktor Orban, Hungary's dictatorial nationalistic leader freak, will be in Tbilisi on the 21st of April from the 9th. From 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the Courtyard Marriott on Freedom Square. The occasion is a Georgia-Hungary business forum. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili will also be there, probably at the beginning, in case anybody wants to show up and wave signs. Ask your Hungarian friends about what to write on them. For friends of Georgia in the U.K., renowned scholar Donald Rayfield is giving a lecture on Nikolaos Baratashvili at the Asia House in London on the 27th of April. The event marks 200 years since the birth of Baratashvili, one of Georgia's greatest poets. Georgian ambassador to the UK, Tamar Bedochashvili, will give opening remarks. Tickets are £10 each. Go to asiahouse.org to register. Rayfield is brilliant, hysterically funny, and cooler than the other side of the pillow. If you are in London, go to this. Believe me. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is fieldpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.fieldpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1998, from Glasgow, Scotland, this is Belle and Sebastian and the Boy with the Arab Strap.
takes a back seat as the cigarette catches and sets off the smoke alarm. What do you make of the cool set in London? You're constantly updating your hit parade of your tenderest wanks. She's a waitress and she's got style. So the bath time could take a while.